In February 1995, Foo Fighters emerged almost entirely unnoticed onto the stage for the very first time. The band was founded by Nirvana drummer Dave Grohl as a one-man project following the death, the end of Nirvana, in fact, after the death of Kurt Cobain. I'm joined now by Lauren Murphy to talk about the debut from Foo Fighters. If we start to the background to the band itself, I'm saying they were formed in the wake of a horrible tragedy for Dave Grohl, but in fact, initially, Lauren, it was just Grohl himself.
It was, yeah. As most people would know, obviously Dave Grohl was originally the drummer in Nirvana, the band he joined when he was 22, and which came to a sad ending, as you mentioned, with the death of Kurt Cobain in April 1994. So I guess at a loss for what to do next, Dave Grohl was seeking a creative outlet of some kind. And later that year, I think it was October 94, he booked time in a studio down the street from his house to, you know, casually record these demos that he'd written over the last few years. And he played pretty much every instrument on it. He wrote a lot of the lyrics in the studio and recorded pretty much everything by himself, what would become known as the first Foo Fighters album, in just 6 days. So yeah, it very much was a solo project, and it was never intended as a launch pad for his new rock band or anything like that. He said that he was, you know, very much depressed after the death of his friend and bandmate and the ending of this band that had been so enormously iconic and influential. So he originally only pressed very few copies of the cassette and the vinyl to casually hand out to friends and random strangers that he encountered, and one of them found its way to Capitol Records, basically, and they signed him, and 25 years later, the rest is history, I guess.
Well, let's listen to that debut album. In fact, the opening track from Foo Fighters, the track is called This Is A Call. This Is A Call, the opening track there from Foo Fighters and the debut album of the same name, Lauren Murphy, celebrating 25 years of that album, which is making lots of people listening to us this evening, I'm sure, suddenly feel very old, Lauren. But, you know, it is extraordinary when you listen to it there. You got to remember that Grohl was the drummer with Nirvana. So this move out front, even though it was just for friends, initially... How frightening was that for him? Does that come across in any way, do you think, on the album?
Maybe not so much on the album, but yeah, I mean, he was previously known as a drummer in Nirvana, and all the previous bands that he'd been in since he was a teenager, he'd never sung lead vocals in any of those bands. And by all accounts, he was quite insecure about his vocals on the album. I mean, many of the songs, you probably can't tell as a listener, but he's talked about how many of the songs have his vocals double tracked and layered to make them sound beefier and louder, I guess, and stronger. So he was very much in new territory by making this album, which accidentally became his new band. But I don't think you can tell it on the album. Maybe on early videos of their early performances, there's actually one on YouTube. If you search Foo Fighters Velvet Elvis Seattle on YouTube, there's a 40-minute set where they play most of the album, and I think it was their fourth gig or something like that. It was a very early gig. And you can see there that while he's very convincing as a front man, even then, he's still very much kind of also getting to grips with being out there in front instead of behind the drum kit. So
I'm also wondering,
it was uncharted territory.
Yeah, I'm wondering also in terms of the lyrics, you know, was there depth to them? Was there subtlety in there? Or was it something... talking 6 days, did you say? 6 days or 6 weeks?
Yeah,
6 days. You know, if it was thrown together in that fashion, do we see that and hear that in the lyrics or even in the quality of the songwriting?
We do and we don't. I think most of the lyrics were apparently written quite quickly before recording, like you said. So there was no huge depth or thought put into them. But at the same time, he said that whatever he was coming out with in the studio, the gibberish, he's called it, was deliberate because, you know, he couldn't say everything that he wanted to say about Kurt Cobain's death. It's such an enormous thing in his life. So he was kind of writing gibberish in the studio, but he later said that in retrospect, he kind of felt that there was a lot of truth that came through the lyrics on it, maybe on a subconscious level. despite the, you know, the slapdash way they were written. And you can even hear it in song titles. I mean, there's a song called Alone and Easy Target on that album. Or lines like, you know, I don't owe you anything from another song called I'll Stick Around. So there maybe was some subconscious truth going on.
Although the song Big Me, I think, had a more personal aspect to it, and that perhaps there's a little bit more depth there, would you argue?
Yeah, definitely. That's one of the exceptions, I reckon. That was a love song written about his then wife, Jennifer Youngblood. So that was, you would imagine, quite purposeful rather than slapdash. But yeah, that remains one of Foo Fighters' most popular songs, even now.
Well, let's listen to Dave Grohl then in love song mode with the track Big Me. But it's you. Big Me, the title of that track from Foo Fighters and the debut album of the same name. Not sure about the lyric at the end of it there, Lauren Murphy, who's celebrating 25 years of this album with us this evening. It's you I fell into. A little bit clunky, isn't it? But we were just saying here, you know, amongst the team, as we listened to that, that it's a very commercial sound. It's a very radio-friendly sound. It comes in at 2 minutes and 10 seconds. We could play the entire song in the midst of this discussion. Was it a big move away from Nirvana? Was Grohl actually making a specific point about that, do you think? Or was it just he wanted to get out of the depression of the death of Cobain?
I think it was probably a little bit of both, actually. I mean, songs like that definitely showcase the more, you know, melodic, popular sound the Foo Fighters now are known for and have become known for, as does the opening track, This Is a Call. But you could never imagine several other songs on a Nirvana album either, you know. But then again, there's definitely some clear parallels with Nirvana on other songs, especially their album Nevermind, that song Alone and Easy Target that I mentioned earlier. His vocals even sound slightly Cobain-esque, whether that was deliberate or not. But yeah, it's a bit of both. I think it's an album that doffs its cap to his punk influences and his time in Nirvana, but it's also very much forging a new path for himself and saying, this is what I'm doing now. It's a bit more commercial.
And do we still think of Foo Fighters as Grohl, the solo artist, or really has it grown into the band now? Because how long after the debut album did he bring others in?
Pretty soon afterwards. The label obviously wanted him to tour the album live because it was such a success. So he recruited other musicians to play the songs live, which is basically how Foo Fighters that we know today were formed. And some of them were drawn from his time in Nirvana. Pat Smear, the guitarist, had been a touring guitarist with Nirvana for years. But others, the bassist Nate Mendel and the then drummer, the original drummer William Goldsmith, were recruited from a band called Sunny Day Real Estate. So William Goldsmith would later be replaced by Taylor Hawkins. But yeah, they were brought together to play the album live, essentially. And most of them have stayed with Grohl until now.
Yeah, I'm always dubious when you know, people say, oh, I didn't mean it to be anything other than just an album for a few pals. It was just a side project. I didn't really think it had become anything. I mean, it's become hugely, Foo Fighters has and have become hugely successful. Do you believe Grohl when he says he didn't expect that kind of success?
I kind of do and I don't. I mean, what musician doesn't put out music without wanting it to be hugely successful, you know? But at the same time, I understand why he wanted a creative outlet. But, you know, Foo Fighters are now one of the biggest rock bands on the planet. So he must have known that there was something in that album that would resonate with huge audiences.
And is the album, did you enjoy revisiting it 25 years on? Was it worth the listen back?
I actually really did because, you know, I'd consider myself a casual Foo Fighters fan. It's an album I haven't really gone back to much, but listening to it from start to finish for a good few times over the last few weeks and for the first time in a good few years, I realised what a great album it really was. And knowing that Grohl was the sole architect of it too. It's a huge accomplishment, and it's aged really well too. It doesn't sound particularly dated or cheesy. It certainly doesn't sound 25 years
I'm going old. To finish up. I'm going to finish up, Lauren, by listening to Alone and Easy Target. You'd say this is more, I suppose, a nod towards Cobain and Nirvana, is it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's one of the harder songs in the album, I reckon.
All right, that's it. Lauren Murphy there speaking to us about Foo Fighters, the debut album, 25 years old this year. And let's listen to Alone and Easy Target. Hey!